WBUR, New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WBC.
I'm not in love, so don't forget it. It's just a silly phase I'm going through.
So I wake up yesterday morning, and my father, I talk about my father so much, you guys got to be sick of it. And I have a couple more days coming, just so you know, because next Thursday is the one-year anniversary of his death, and July 4th is the unveiling. That'll be it after that, I promise you. So I wake up yesterday, and it's Father's Day. It's my first Father's Day without Big Harvey. And I live by Riverside Park, and actually Central Park. I live right in the middle of both, but I'm much closer to Riverside Park. So I decide I'm going to walk down to the Hudson River. There's a beautiful path, runners and bikers, that goes all the way down like past Chelsea Piers into basically FIDI that starts there in Riverside Park. I decide I'm going to walk down to the water early in the morning before it gets crowded. It gets very crowded with runners and bikers and all these folks. And get there by about 6 a.m. so I can talk to my dad. I wanted a couple of minutes, tell him what's going on, right? What's going on with work? What's going on at home? What's going on in my head? And I did that. And I swear to God, I don't believe in a lot of the stuff out there. Me and Bernie talk about this all the time. I don't believe in ghosts. Sorry, John Katzimatidis. I don't believe in UFOs. I don't believe in any of that nonsense. I just don't. When I see it, you can talk to me. But I swear to God, my father answered me yesterday and talked back to me. So maybe it's just convenient for me. Maybe I'm just picking what I want to believe, what I don't want to believe. But it was so cathartic. It was so therapeutic. It was so beautiful. And the rest of the morning, I still struggled, even though my family was great and we had a beautiful day. But it was the perfect way to start the day. I gave it a shot, and it worked out well. So happy Father's Day to everybody out there, and especially you, Bernard. You and I had a couple of text conversations this weekend. You're an amazing father. Your dad is still alive.
Thank you. My dad is still alive, and of course I'm a dad to four kids.
That's right, four.
Two legit, two illegit. I saw my boys, Hector and Isaiah, up in the Bronx.
Oh, you did go yesterday.
I did. I went yesterday. They live up on Ho Avenue. I took them over to City Island, believe it or not.
Oh, I love it there.
And it was nice. And, you know, I also didn't forget it was Saturday was Juneteenth. So I was in that sort of spirit.
Oh, that's good.
All weekend
long.
Yeah,
you don't want to forget about that.
Overall, it was a very festive sort of celebratory weekend. And it was nice. And the weather cooperated.
Oof. What a beautiful couple
of
days.
It really was.
Oh, my God. Yesterday was, it was hot. Very hot. Today promises to be the same.
I tell you, it was hot. Yeah. Sweating all over the place.
It's going to be gorgeous later on in the week. Highs only in the mid-70s and sunny. Yesterday was about 90. Today expects to be about 92.
Yeah, and humid. It's like a sauna in here.
Well, that's why you got to be down by the water or on the beach, because even though it's still very, very hot, it's still a little less humid than walking around the streets of Manhattan. But nevertheless, it was a great weekend. It's Monday morning, and we are back here. And, you know, it's funny. I was reading the papers this morning and getting ready for the show early. I got here at about 4:40 today, very early in the morning. And there didn't seem, Bernie, to be a lot of national stuff. I mean, we are preparing for tomorrow, and I always think of you because we're now less than 3 months away from 9/11, commemorating 20 years 9/11. And for folks that weren't listening to me and Bernie back then in 2001 on IMUS, Bernie, the morning of 9/11, was actually on 96th Street and Broadway for a mayoral primary. Back then, it was in the fall. Now it's in the summer. But Bernie was on the streets interviewing New Yorkers about who they liked for the primary. And tomorrow is the primary. It brings me back to you and 9/11.
Wow. That's an amazing association you have.
Well, you were out there, right?
I was there. Yeah, yeah.
For that?
For that mayoral... I forget even who was running. I know it was Bloomberg, of course.
He won, obviously.
On the Republican side, and he won.
Yeah.
And it was a special primary for some reason. I don't even know why.
It was.
I mean, a little thing called 9/11 overshadowed all these details.
Yeah.
But yes, I was out, and tomorrow is the primary, of course. And but do not expect a result for a couple of weeks.
We're sure about that, right?
Positive.
Yeah,
positive. It's not. You're not going to get. You're going to get coverage tomorrow. They might release the initial findings tomorrow night. Who won? Who came in? Who came in first? You know who received the most votes.
Right.
But that's not what determines who wins this ranked choice voting thing.
It's nonsense.
Oddly enough, yeah. It makes no sense whatsoever. So you can get the most votes and you can still lose. And over the weekend, some of the odder things that happened, a way to manipulate this ranked choice voting is the reason why Andrew Yang and Catherine Garcia campaigned together.
Together?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yes. Well, they know something that we don't know. There's some sort of shenanigans you can pull where you can screw the leader, the person who gets the most votes.
Eric Adams.
In this case, would be Eric Adams.
They're all out together.
Who, by the way, on that note, he was claiming, they did this on Juneteenth.
Yes.
Implying that it was racist.
I know. Like, please,
he
Eric.
He was implying that. And in addition to that, Eric Adams also had a campaign worker. Was stabbed several times in the Bronx with an ice pick.
I saw that.
So the law and order guy, I guess it hammers home his point a little bit.
I don't know. All I know about Eric Adams is here we are. Tomorrow's the primary. He promised him and Eric Ulrich to come on this show 10 times after the debates, before the debates. He had every excuse in the book. And in the end, he did not come on. The man wants to run New York City, and he's afraid of me and us. And that is that's pretty pathetic, Eric. So if you're listening, I'm not endorsing Eric Adams. I'll tell you who I'm endorsing later. It doesn't matter. What does he care? He's going to win anyway. Anyway, it is 6:37 on this Monday, hot Monday morning in New York City. And I imagine there'll be traffic today, folks, coming home from another holiday weekend. Here's the man himself, the great Joe Nolan. Good morning, Joe.
Stay informed with Bernie and Sid in the morning on 77 WABC.
They should be raising a gay pride flag right now. I don't know why people say that. I love ABBA. I love this song.
I listened to this on Friday on the way home.
Oh, I love it.
And the other one, Take a Chance on Me.
That's a great song, too.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It's not a gay thing. It's
Come on. 6:42 on your Monday morning. Rich Lowry's going to stop by today. Joe Tacopina. We have a host of topics to get to. I did notice a couple of things this weekend driving back yesterday. Into the city, I noticed last night, I always pass the Hustler Club. It's on the West Side Highway. It's the last really piece of business you hit before you get on that little Joe DiMaggio Highway, which takes you towards 79th Street, 96th Street, and the George Washington Bridge.
You tell me like I don't know.
You know, bro. Not as well as me, because that was my stomping grounds at when I was on IMUS, as you know, which got me fired after the Republican National Convention.
Right. And I just, by the way.
I don't. It's open. It's open.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. There was a guy outside.
Yeah, why wouldn't they be?
Saturday night, excuse me, not Sunday night.
Everything's reopened.
Everything's open,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Strippers, churches.
Are they wearing masks?
The whole spectrum.
Are the strippers wearing masks? No, I'm being serious, because they did that early on.
Look, they have the option.
They have the option.
And from what I've seen from some of them, they should wear just put a mask on and get up there and take everything else off.
Well, John, if John Catsimatidis is listening, I did go shopping at Christie's yesterday, and I didn't wear a mask. Nobody said a word to me. The ladies who know me very well there on 103rd Street, they're very nice to me. Wished me a happy Father's Day. No one said put your mask on. So it looks like wherever I went this weekend, wherever I went, shopping, I saw the places that were not open prior were open, no masks. Don't forget Friday at Yankee Stadium, 100% capacity. And later on tonight, and I've got four tickets for this game, the Mets and the Braves, Citi Field in Queens, the first time we get 100% capacity in Queens tonight for the Mets. So it's over, right?
It completely over.
So why are we still talking about Dr. Anthony Fauci?
By the way, Citi Field tonight, you don't have to show any proof of vaccination, no vaccination.
Nothing.
And they had last night at Madison Square Garden the Foo Fighters.
Yes.
Where you did have to show proof one way or the other.
And there were protesters outside the anti-vaccine protesters, these morons. But why are we still talking about Anthony Fauci?
Well, first of all, let me just say about the Foo Fighters. I saw the news reports about them and the crowds outside our old building at Two Penn Plaza. It was really exciting to see it back in action.
Yeah.
But there were a whole lot of white supremacists out. I did not see one black face waiting to buy a ticket or waiting to enter the Foo Fighters. I saw racists and white supremacists galore. I mean, who the hell are these Foo Fighters, and what do they represent? I am really sickened by the whole sight of it, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
And so who's talking about Dr. Anthony Fauci?
I mean, Rand Paul attacked him again, I guess, this weekend, didn't he? Did I see that? Or maybe
why are we still talking about him? I would say, if it just cursory off the top of my head, is that he may have been responsible for the origins of this disease, not to mention all the policies that he was behind that ruined and destroyed so many lives, businesses, livelihoods throughout students' lives. That's why I would imagine we're still talking about it. He has to be held accountable for what happened this past year and 4 months. He needs to be at some point. And he is, he's screaming, he's doubling down on his, if you attack me, you attack science. And he also starts, now he's invoking, it's sort of like when they invoke the race card. It's like, to me, you invoke the race card, racism is the argument of a skunk, is the last refuge of a person with no argument. And the same thing when you invoke the death threat thing. My family's receiving death threats. Oh, well, that seems to be everybody in public life receives death threats. You receive death threats. I receive death threats. Everybody and their mother receives it. But he's throwing that out there now, which means he's squirming. He knows he's in trouble. He's got nothing else to say. It's like I say, it's almost like the race card in that respect. But that little skunk, that little weasel, that little liar, he needs to be thrown in jail at some point, but to be held accountable in the interim.
Islanders have a big hockey game tonight, and we saw something yesterday we've never seen before, a birdie on 17 and 18 to get a specific golfer his first ever major win. The same golfer who a couple of weeks ago was winning a tournament when he had to go home on a Saturday because he tested positive for COVID. A couple of amazing stories here. 6:47 on Monday morning. It is time for a look at traffic and our main man, Joe Nolan. Good morning, Joseph.
Now, stay entertained and informed with Bernie and Sid in the Morning on 77 WABC.
Sometimes late when things are real and people share the gift of gab between themselves. Some are quick to take the bait and catch the perfect prize that waits among the shells. But Oz never did give nothing.
Folks, head on over to WABCRadio.com right now and register for your chance to win a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Barry House Coffee is proud to be the official coffee of Bernie and Sid in the Morning here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Register now and good luck. So is today or yesterday the actual first day of summer? Is it today, Bernie? Or?
Today is the first full day of summer. Yesterday was the summer solstice. Yesterday was the longest day of the year.
I've had longer days.
The solstice. Yeah, right. I hear you, bro. I hear you. Yeah. But it was. I think the solstice was like at 11:30 p.m. I think so. Whatever. Okay. Either way. So today is officially the first full day of summer.
Well, for me it is. My summer camp starts today because my daughter Ava's gone. South Carolina, 10 days, then camp in Pennsylvania, then London. She's not back until Labor Day. I already miss her, but she's gone. My son Gabriel starts his fencing camp today. So he's gone 9 in the morning all day. My wife works on Long Island. She comes home about 7:30 at night. So my summer vacation starts today because when the show is over, if you have a pool – or you live on the beach and you want me to come over and you want to pay me $1,000, I'll come over.
Bro, you got an empty nest.
You're
an empty nester.
Right now I am. I mean, Gabe gets home at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He's not gone like Ava.
Oh, it's not a sleepaway camp. Fencing.
It's a day camp. Right?
Fencing.
Yes. He's good at it. He loves it. I know. That's very bougie.
Well, look, it's bougie, but... It could be fun.
Something
to do.
He's got his disability doesn't allow him to play basketball or baseball, those types of things. So he happens to be pretty good at this. He enjoys it. And anyway, I'm out there. That's it. I'm available, and I'm looking to have some fun. O'Halloran, what do you want to do today?
Let's go down the shore.
I don't want to hang out. No, I don't want to hang out with you. How about you, Bernie? You want to do something today?
Yeah, but not with you.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry. I got plans. No, listen.
I'm going to go to Coney Island one of these days, too.
Today?
I got to spend the day. I'm going to get one of those corporate apartments and put my stuff in there. Go down to the beach and go to the amusement park and maybe have a lunch at Gargiulio's and do a couple of days of that. I don't know. I have a whole bunch of things going on in my head right now. I got the Met game tonight, so got a lot going on.
You got the Met game tonight. You got the Islanders are playing.
But they're in Tampa.
But they have a viewing party at the barn.
Is that right?
Yes, they do. They do.
Every seat they're filling up? The whole place?
If people show up, yeah. I can't imagine they'll say, oh, that's enough. We have 500 seats, but we're not filling them.
O'Reilly's back in town.
Matt Lauer went to the Islander game yesterday.
Matt Lauer.
So they're tied 2-2. It was an amazing save at the last. I don't know if you saw the very end.
Yalimov.
No, this guy, Ryan Pulak. A defenseman, the goalie came out of the net. It was 2 seconds left. They're leading 3-2, and this defenseman Ryan Pulak, he slides in there and he stops the goal with 2 seconds left from tying the game. So they tied the series 2-2. And yes, you're tonight back at Tampa, but it does mean that there's going to be another game at the barn.
Yes.
Later, I believe Wednesday.
Yeah, you'll get a game 6 Wednesday no matter what. And then,
come on, man. This is the miracle on ice, bro.
Got to make it happen, right? Got to make it happen.
Got to make it happen. Yeah. And, you know, this is we talked last week to Nassau County Executive Laura Curran. And I tell you, she's really, really – she's like the mayor. The county executive is like the mayor. She did a great job during the whole pandemic. She wasn't preening. She wasn't a narcissist with her press conferences. She was actually informative, comforting, and said the right things. And she also says that schools should be open. Parents, educators should make that decision. The Nassau County Police Commissioner, his name is Patrick Ryder. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about recruiting, minorities for the police department. And he said the reason why we don't have a more diverse police department is perhaps because people of color don't come from a conducive background that lends itself towards policing. They don't try to go into it. He said something like that, and they call for him to be fired.
Oh, come on.
They call, and so what did Laura Curran do? She said, I'm not firing him. He didn't say anything wrong.
Good.
He's staying with me.
Love Laura Curran.
How do you like that?
Love her. By the way, you look very handsome today.
Easy.
Blue is your color.
Look
it matches
talking,
your eyes.
Look who's talking.
No, but I'm telling you, your blue shirt with your eyes, you look very handsome.
This is.
I've been gazing into your eyes for 30 minutes already.
Let me just say, thank you, sir. Thank you, buddy.
It is Gay Pride Month.
You know that.
Right? And you celebrated Juneteenth on Saturday, so we're getting into the spirit of everything.
That's right.
Here, the Bernie
we're going to start marching. Is there a parade this year? No.
There's no parade.
There was one in Florida. I'll tell you about that coming up.
Okay. We've got a lot of good stuff. He's got the parade coming up. I've got a cop in Patterson. Folks, when I tell you this story, this may be the next George Floyd moment. And it's going to be right here in New Jersey. And it's going to happen very, very soon. So be prepared. All that and more. But it is 6:57. Joe Nolan's got traffic. Joe, good morning, pal.
We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
She comes down from Yellow Mountain on a dark flat land she rides on a pony she named Wildfire with a whirlwind by her side. Cold Nebraska night.
See, told you guys, 3 offers already. I'll give you $1,000. Come over for the day, hang out at my pool. 3. Instagram, Rosenberg.Sydney. Twitter, @SidRosenberg. You thought I was kidding.
They say
I'm seriously considering doing it, actually. So remember this name, Bernie. This is going to be a big story this week, or it won't.
Yes, sir.
Or it won't.
Hit me, bro.
His name is Spencer Finch. 44 years old, Mahwah, Passaic County, and he's a cop, all right? And he was charged last week with assaulting domestic violence suspect. He did not activate his body camera during the alleged attack, but it was recorded by another officer, okay? Finch says this guy, the detainee, was arrested for making terroristic threats. He ordered him to put his hands behind his back, but the suspect took an aggressive stance and clenched his fist. Finch described the suspect as placing a hand around his torso, struggling and punching and kicking him for several minutes. Once handcuffed, the man tried to headbutt Finch, who then kneed the man in the chin. Here's the problem with all this. The other body camera video taken by another cop says that none of this happened. The video shows the man agitated, pacing and screaming into his cell phone, but he maintains his distance from the officers. Never came close. In other words, the other officer's body camera says, basically, or portrays, that Finch just went berserk on this guy without the guy. It's another George Floyd situation. Now, the guy didn't die. George Floyd died, of course, in Minnesota. This detainee, this suspect, did not die, but there are already some whispers that this is going to be another George Floyd situation in New Jersey. I don't know if they're going to release this video, and maybe there is stuff on this video that's going to say, hey, Spencer Finch was correct in what he said happened. Maybe there is. You know, a lot of times these cops get screwed, and Bernie and I are very, very pro-police, and we don't like to see these types of things, but, from what I'm reading and what I'm hearing, it doesn't look like it's going to go that way. And this could make for a very ugly middle of the week in New Jersey and New York. Keep your eyes out for this.
It's possible. Very possible. It's possible. You see a lot of these things. It depends on the news cycle. If something eclipses it, they ignore it. But there was one thing that occurred. It was last Thursday, believe it or not. Those kids in the Bronx shooting that were, as the news describes it, they were caught in the crossfire.
Yeah,
up in the Bronx. Caught in the crossfire. Excuse me, Mr. News People and Mrs. News, Ms. News People. They were used as human shields. That thug that was running away from the other thug, he was actually ducking behind the kids. There was no crossfire. He ran toward these kids to hide behind them. And the fake news, the local fake news, does not point that out. The thug was actually shot twice. He was brought to Bronx Lebanon Hospital, which, by the way, where I was born. And the thug is still at loose, the one that shot him. But the kids were at the Yankees game over the weekend, and that's good because the Yankees, that's the least the Yankees can do because they contributed to this lawlessness by their shameful, embarrassing groveling to Black Lives Matter. If you recall back last fall, it was disgusting. That's the reason why we have this out of control crime wave, this these criminals acting with impunity, with kids being quote unquote caught in the crossfire. They were used as human shields, folks. Eric Adams, the law and order candidate, said something about these kids over the weekend. Listen to him.
A little girl, a little boy, protecting your family members from that shooting. Ruben is right. Those images are permanently embedded in their psyche. And so, one, we want to reach out to that family and connect them with the trauma support that they need. We're asking anyone that has any information, we want to privately put them in contact with the professionals that would give them the help, because not only the two children need help, but also the entire family that witnessed that.
Yeah, okay,
that.
All right, we got it. Thank you. That's Eric Adams, the law and order guy. What did he say? He didn't say anything.
Nothing.
Nothing at all. Look,
he never does.
I'll tell you who
what
said
am I
something.
Missing?
I'll tell you who said something.
All right.
And this is, I don't know how the hell we missed it. I don't know why nobody was playing this anywhere. Andrew Yang at the mayoral debate last Wednesday. This went viral. It ultimately went viral. He was talking about the homeless problem and crime here in New York City. And he got slammed. He got slapped around by the lefties for saying what he said. But he said, this is what I initially thought Andrew Yang would be the best candidate. You talk about law and order. This is what he said at the mayoral debate last Wednesday night. Take a listen.
The fact is mentally ill homeless men are changing the character of our neighborhoods. A woman, my wife Evelyn is friends with in her mom group in Hell's Kitchen, was punched in the face by a mentally ill man. Sent a picture of a bruised face around the mom group, spread like wildfire. This is happening in New York City, and we're not talking enough about it. Families are leaving as a result. In East Harlem, the neighborhood has been changed. Upper West Side, the neighborhood has been changed. We owe our people and our families better than this, and I'm frustrated by the political nature of these responses. I mean, we're not talking about housing affordability. We're talking about the hundreds of mentally ill people we all see around us every day on the streets and the subways. We need to get them off of our streets and our subways into a better environment. And when you ask what I'm going to do differently, I'm going to rebuild the stock of psych beds in our city, because the number's gone down 14%. It should be going up 100% until there are resources necessary for anyone who's mentally ill to not be on our streets. It's not right for them. It's not right for our city. There will be no recovery until we resolve this. I will fix this, New York. Yes, mentally ill people have rights, but you know who else have rights? We do. The people and families of the city. We have the right to walk the street and not fear for our safety because a mentally ill person is going to lash out at us.
How do you like
right.
that? And no,
that's
a
great job.
I didn't hear that anywhere.
Yeah,
I saw it on Twitter. I'm like, why? Where? What? That? What? What? So that's Andrew Yang.
That's a good job. You know what's funny?
We need psych beds. We need to forcibly institutionalize these people.
We do, and I live with these people. They're in big numbers.
He cited your neighborhood, the Upper West Side.
But I have to tell you that I think they're less crazy, the people he's talking about, than once again Friday afternoon, right there, 4 o'clock, corner 96th Street and Broadway. A ton of white old Jewish people holding up a sign that what do they call that? The white terrorists. What do they call those people?
Antifa.
No. The ones that are doing all the damage in this country. The
domestic terrorists.
The white people.
White supremacists.
Yes, white supremacists. Stop killing black people. There's about 20 of them. They get a bullhorn and they're out there. And I'm saying to myself, why don't the cops stop this? First of all, it doesn't do anything but incite further race divide, right? Because they're blaming white people, which is ridiculous when we all know that the people that kill black people are black people.
I forgot to mention those two thugs who put the kids in the quote-unquote crossfire, who used the kids as human shields.
They were black.
They were not white supremacists.
Of course.
I just want to point out, they were not white supremacists.
So that furthers my frustration.
And
you
these
get these morons.
Ignore that.
Right, but why these people are in big numbers of bullhorns yelling and screaming, and cars are driving by, Bernie, they're honking their horns. Way to go, baby.
You got
to
get out of that place, man. That is these people are sick. They're sick. These people are sick.
Those are the people. I would almost rather have the guys walking around with feces in their pants talking to themselves than those people. I swear to God, because I think those people are crazier.
Listen, front page in the New York Post, and a friend of mine, this guy who used to be IMUS' security guy, his name is Cliff. He emailed me this last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You know Cliff.
Yeah, yeah.
This report finally, it made the front page of the New York Post this morning. Let them loot. Outrageous doesn't quite cover it. It's shameful, disgraceful, and dangerous. What the New York Post is talking about, the DAs, they dropped charges against hundreds of people in the riots in 2020. In the Bronx, more than 60% of those arrested have had charges dropped, according to an investigation by Channel 4, NBC. More than 60% in, 73% of the 118 people in the borough had their cases dismissed. And also in Manhattan, same thing, where looters ran rampant in Soho and Midtown. 225 of the 485 people arrested had their cases dropped. Why? Why? Why is that? It makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, it was a very violent weekend all over the country.
Yeah.
There was an SUV attack in Arizona. They plowed into a bunch of bicyclists, 9 people in critical conditions.
Mm.
An SUV, the same thing up in the Bronx. A car ran into some family that was hanging out at 2:40 a.m. at 170th Street and Sheridan Avenue, which the neighborhood I know very, very well, right outside of Taft High School. And I used to know a kid in the gym who went to Taft High School, and he said that the students, nicknamed Taft, they said that Taft stands for Training Animals for Tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
This is what the kid told me. He told me that that was their nickname for their own school. But either way, 2:40 in the morning, an innocent family just hanging out, rammed into by a vehicle on the street, hurting a bunch of people. They didn't catch the perps. They were not white supremacists, ladies and gentlemen. Trust me when I tell you. And then down in Fort Lauderdale, I got to tell you, it burns my ass. How about that?
How about a flame about 6 feet high?
Well, that kind of almost ties into the topic because it was a gay pride parade, right?
Okay.
And,
in Fort Lauderdale, Las Olas.
And Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Oh, I hate her.
She was actually one of the leaders of the, and she's engaged in this lie about what actually happened. an SUV ran into the crowd just before the parade started. SUV ran into it. And this is what the Fort Lauderdale mayor said about that SUV running into the crowd. Listen.
This is a terrorist attack against the LGBT community. This is exactly what it is.
You don't think this was an accident?
Hardly an accident. It was deliberate. It was premeditated, and it was targeted against a specific person. Luckily, they missed that person, but unfortunately, they hit two other people, which I think they'll be okay. I don't know. They're laying on the ground right now.
Oh, my God.
We're hoping that they'll survive.
All right, that's good enough. So the fake news ran with that, right? Ran with it. Hey, that was a terrorist attack against the gays.
Not true.
Turns out the driver, not only did he have a gay pride parade flag on his truck,
right.
He's part of the gay men's chorus down there in Fort Lauderdale. It was a complete and total accident. Accident is what it was. And you have people like this idiot for what reason? I mean, you want to be a victim. You want to be a victim. Wait 5 minutes for the facts to come. I mean, I'm sure it was cleared up within a half hour.
I'm sure.
But he couldn't wait. And one last thing. You know why this buckhead segment of Atlanta wants to secede?
Why?
Well, and you heard the news. I played the news reports last week.
Yeah.
This all-white buckhead wants to secede from majority black Atlanta. Well, they want to secede because the crime has now infested Buckhead, right? Whatever's happening in Atlanta, I mean, the criminals are going into Buckhead and shooting and killing people willy-nilly. It's just like a hellscape in Buckhead, this affluent neighborhood. But Atlanta, you'd think Atlanta would say, you know what, screw you. You want to leave? Leave. Well, you know why they don't want them to leave?
Why?
Because they provide most of the tax revenue for the city of Atlanta. Oh, no, we want you white people to stay. You're staying with us. So that's what's happening in Buckhead. And again, the criminals that are attacking people in Buckhead, they're not white supremacists.
No, they're not, no.
They're not attacking the Jews of Buckhead.
No.
Because they're white supremacists.
No.
Just
no.
FYI.
First. Right. Well, it's incredibly frustrating that continues to be a narrative put forth in this country when nothing, and I mean nothing, could be further from the truth.
Identity politics has just gone off the charts.
No good. Rich Lowry is a great Monday morning guest. He's the editor of the National Review. He writes for Politico. His column syndicated often in the New York Post all across the country. He's also a NBC contributor. He's on Meet the Press quite a bit. We love him. Rich Lowry, your Monday morning conversation is coming up next.
This is Bernie and Sid in the Morning on 77 WABC.
I can't get to sleep. I think about the implications. I'm diving in too deep. And possibly the complications. Especially at night, I worry over situations. I know it'll be alright. Perhaps it's just imagination.
7:28 on your Monday morning. We put this time aside every week for Rich Lowry. What a tremendous guest. The editor of the National Review. A lot of his stuff is syndicated across the country, including here the New York Post. Also writes for Politico, an NBC contributor. Often see him on Chuck Todd's panel on Meet the Press. And he's become our Monday morning favorite. Rich, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you?
We are great. We all enjoyed Happy Father's Day yesterday. And I specifically enjoyed Donald Trump's wishes for a Happy Father's Day, which he included in that, losers and rhinos. He did say that he hopes everybody can come together, but nothing like
Father's Day was made by the triple play ending the Yankee A's game.
By the way, that is the third triple play for the Yankees, Rich, in 30 days.
Yeah, crazy. And I've never seen a triple play, like, really matter in a game.
Right.
Before. Like there was no way they were getting out of that without a triple play, basically.
That's how they won the game. It was amazing. Yeah. But, so Trump is out there wishing everybody a happy Father's Day in his fashion to the losers and the rhinos. Once again, nobody does it, Rich, like Donald Trump.
No one does. And we'll see. It's sort of interesting. There was a straw poll. You know, you can't put too much stock in them. This Republican gathering out in the West that had Ron DeSantis a slightly higher approval rating in the straw poll than Donald Trump. I mean, they're both really high. Something like DeSantis 75 and Trump 73. But that's the first indication I can remember anywhere where some other Republican politician might be getting a little more traction than Donald Trump.
It's very interesting. A lot of people say, of course, Rich Lowry, that Ron DeSantis wouldn't run if Donald Trump decided to run himself. But anything can happen. I mean, come on. Even though Donald Trump picked Ron DeSantis in the primary and really got him elected governor. But who knows? Anyway, I'd like to move on, Rich Lowry, if you don't mind, to Biden's trip to, well, Europe, the UK, Belgium, Switzerland, the Putin meeting. You've tweeted about this. You've written about this. He gave away the store. The pipeline thing, he dropped the sanctions that Trump had on the pipeline going from Russia to West Germany. And then it turns out we just learned over the weekend that he dropped he dropped sanctions. Well, something about Ukraine, $100 million. He put a hold on $100 million for Ukraine, as a matter of fact, is what he did. So so who's the Russian collusion guy?
Yeah, this would have been an impeachable offense, right?
Yeah.
It was when Trump did it. Different circumstances. But this is just the foolishness to me of meeting with Putin. It's just unnecessary. And one of the reasons they apparently stopped launch of lethal aid to Ukraine was that he was going to have the meeting with Putin, which just, I think, makes zero sense. You know, you could have had a phone call with Putin, or you could have lower level aides hashing out these really meaningless agreements that were forged with Putin. So, you know, it wasn't a disastrous trip, but it wasn't, you know, it's not Harry Truman or you know, a genius of diplomacy either. The thing that I thought was most notable that Obama never would have done is that Biden was twisting arms in Europe to try to get European allies on board a tougher posture towards China. And that is fully a reflection of how Trump revolutionized our China policy in a way we're not going back to the old business-friendly approach to China. So that, to me, that was really the most notable part of the trip.
So even though there was moments where the world was laughing at him when he wanted the president of some country introduced for a second time.
South Africa, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he said a couple things last week that me and Bernie played that were just outrageous, and the world was laughing. I know, but even with all that said, you don't seem to think it was a disastrous week for Joe Biden.
No, I mean, those moments are embarrassing. They're just always going to be there. I mean, he's lost a step, but – you know, is anyone going to be, besides us, later this week, is anyone going to be talking about this trip? You know, probably not. So, you know, we're focusing on whether he can get anything through Congress.
Well, they made President Trump. He didn't make him, but he did take the cognitive test that they were clamoring for, passed it with flying colors. I think Joe Biden should do the same, just to clear everything up and say I'm okay. But, Rich, I'd like to move on to a very important topic. Now, I know you're not a Trump supporter at all. But you liked a lot of his policies. This latest, I'd say, uncovering by Tucker Carlson, this exposure that the FBI actually, there are 14 unindicted co-conspirators listed by the government in the January 6th riot, whatever you want to call it. And Tucker's assertion is that the FBI actually helped plan some of these, this riot. And, of course, we know that Nancy Pelosi and the Capitol Police turned down protection for that day. Tell us your thoughts on that whole episode.
Yeah, I admire Tucker's bravery and how compelling he can be and uncover stuff that everyone else is ignoring. I don't think this is one of those cases. We have Andy McCarthy, former prosecutor, on our staff, and he just pointed out you can't be an unindicted conspirator if you're a government agent because you didn't participate in the conspiracy. So that's just not how you're designated. And there are lots of reasons why there'd be unindicted co-conspirators. They might have been informants, or they might have been people who've been charged for some other crime related to what was going on. So I just think January 6th, to me, it seems pretty clear. There is, like, you know, 100 guys who are really motivated, who are at the front of this crowd and battled with the cops and made their way in there. And, you know, that was deeply wrong. And then you had the second level of people just sort of, the doors were open at that point, and some cops are actually welcoming them in, and they wandered in. And that's a whole different level. But, you know, if you had 100 more cops there, if you had 100 National Guards in there at the beginning, it wouldn't have happened. They would have been stopped from going in, and this wouldn't have been this bleeding wound that we're fighting over. And one reason we didn't have more forces there is because people were afraid of the criticism of the clearing of Lafayette Park. which was ridiculous. That whole thing was a real scam. You know, we now learn it had nothing to do with making way for Trump to go over to that church. They just wanted to. There had been violence a couple nights before, so they wanted to push back the crowd. But because the media was so obsessed about that, then we didn't get enough forces to protect the Capitol. And then, of course, this is typical government. Then you get this overkill for months where you have, you know, more National Guardsmen on the ground on the Capitol than we had in Afghanistan or something like that. Yeah. And this perimeter that still hasn't been fully removed. So that's truly idiotic in my view.
Rich is always not a good appearance, a spectacular appearance. Check out Rich again, National Review, Politico, NBC, all that stuff, and most importantly, 7:25 a.m. right here every Monday morning. Thank you, good buddy. Have yourself a great week.
All right, have a great week, guys.
You too. Great job, Rich Lowry. That's our guy.
Rich Lowry.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. It's a fun listen. 77 WABC.
See you all around.
One piece of legislature, one story that Bernie and Sid have been all over since the very beginning, being that we both have daughters. His beautiful daughter, Melanie, who is a very good volleyball player, and my beautiful daughter, Ava, who is a big-time tennis player. We can't stand these transgenders playing sports, you know, boys playing against women, women playing against boys, all that nonsense.
No, we stand for women's rights. That's why we don't like it.
That's right. So, if you don't know this,
we are feminists.
Yes, we are. The Olympics in Tokyo, where they will allow fans. We just got that piece of news yesterday. They will allow fans. So they're allowing, and of all sports, my God, they're allowing this New Zealand weightlifter to lift. And her name is Laurel Hubbard. And it wouldn't be a big deal for Laurel Hubbard from New Zealand to lift against other women. But here's the problem. She had a penis. Yeah, she's a man. And she's lifting against other females. But because she decided one morning that she wasn't a man, because she decided that, and I'm a woman now, now she's going to compete against other ladies that are actually ladies. And if you're not sickened by this, I'm sorry. You're a moron.
That sounds like cheating to me. Yeah. If you're a boy and you're competing with girls.
Don't you think?
You know what I mean?
In weightlifting, I mean, I hate to say it, and I know a lot of strong women. There are women in my gym who will kick my ass. They can bench press more than me. They can lift more than me. But I'm going to say this. They are few in numbers, okay? Bottom line, most men are stronger than women. Bottom line.
Well, I just
don't get offended.
I can't wait for people like, I don't know, Lamar Odom and Dwayne Wade and those type of people to play in the WNBA, and then we'll get some blowback. And they start pushing out real women athletes. That's until that happens, you know, these girls, no-name girls.
No one's going to care.
Nobody's going
to care.
But we'll scream about it. We'll point it out.
Right.
And people should care.
But they're not going to.
But when
right.
we see it in professional sports and some black woman is getting kicked out of the WNBA because of Dwayne Wade wants to play post his NBA career.
Right.
You know, for example. I'm
right,
just
right.
saying. You
well,
know what I'm saying.
It's
right?
funny you mentioned Lamar Odom. I caught myself on Saturday watching 4 hours. Don't make fun of me, please. It's enough.
All right.
Four hours of keeping up with the Kardashians. And it was happened to be the episodes when Lamar Odom married Khloe Kardashian.
Right.
And if you don't know it, there was one person in the family, and this is very relevant to today, there was one person in the family that was against Lamar Odom marrying Khloe, and it was? I'll give you a hint. Much like this New Zealand lifter.
It was Caitlin.
Correct. But at the time, he was?
Bruce.
That's right.
How do you like that?
So all these episodes, there's the male, but he was so emasculated on that show. He should have been a woman then, the way those girls treated him. But it was the male Bruce Jenner. He eventually came around and he liked Lamar Odom. And now you look at him and he's a woman. So that does play into this story about the New Zealand weightlifter,
right.
Men becoming women, and then they run for governor, they lift weights.
Listen, I just want to pick off, we don't have a lot of time, on where I left off with Rich Lowry and January 6th and the fact that the FBI probably helped to plan and execute the January 6th, quote-unquote, riots on Capitol Hill. all some big-ass, really, a Machiavellian plot, a collusion between Democrats in Congress, the Capitol Police, and the deep state. It's what it seems like. It really does. And as Rich Lowry says, he makes a very compelling case, does Tucker Carlson, so much so that CNN constantly, over and over, they try to discredit what he's saying. And remember, these are the people who colluded with the feds like McCabe and Clapper to push the Russian collusion hoax. They hire all these feds. This is CNN, a montage of CNN fake newsers, you know, just trying to make Tucker look like a lunatic. Listen.
And now it's the FBI. Tucker Carlson's newest baseless theory about the insurrection and how he is spreading it to millions of people.
A new conspiracy theory is emerging about the attack on the U.S. Capitol. You hear this? Directly from Hate TV.
This is the beginning of a new effort to rewrite what happened on January 6th, even though it is wrong, and as you will hear from one of our analysts, impossibly wrong.
And the whole crux of it is that this was an FBI insider operation. Clearly untrue. Clearly untrue. Totally baseless.
Let me say, again, it's insane to think that the FBI did this.
Now, the more they squeal, the more I believe that it actually happened. I mean, that's usually the case. They were also, forget Russia collusion, also behind the Very Fine People hoax, the NASCAR news hoax, the Covington kids hoax, the Kavanaugh rape hoax, all these things they were wrong on. So I'm starting to think that maybe they're wrong on this as well. I wouldn't put it past me. Now, also, 60 Minutes, Anderson Cooper himself did a report in 2017 on the Garland, Texas shooting. Remember the Garland, Texas shooting?
Of course.
Well, there was an FBI agent who helped plan. He actually followed the two terrorists, followed them. He was right behind them. He was arrested on the scene. An FBI agent was arrested on the scene because he was participating. A lot of the times, as Tucker pointed out, that these FBI people crowed and bragged about how they thwarted a domestic terror plot by Islamic extremists or whatever, they were in on it. They were actually trying to encourage it to happen, believe it or not, and that was the perfect opportunity. Anderson Cooper on 60 Minutes exposing the FBI. But since then, the deep state, they were against Trump, so CNN embraced the deep state, again, hired Andrew McCabe, a Clapper, a bunch of guys. You got Brennan working for MSNBC, I believe. So anyway, the government has put out now this manual on fighting domestic terrorism. It's called the National Strategy for Countering Domestic Terrorism, out just this month. Now, this professor, this science professor from Suffolk Community College out in Long Island, he actually was on Tucker Carlson. This is Friday night, so I'm sure nobody saw it. He was talking about this particular document. Listen to him.
Well, this is actually one of the most concerning documents I've ever read that was authored by government officials. And when you look at it, it's clear that the analysts in the field, they didn't write this document. It was the political appointees trying to push an agenda. They list three factors that drive domestic terrorism. The first factor is racism. And when you look at it, they never really define racism except for white supremacy, of course, and the superiority of white race. And these are the same people that believe that racism is inherent. You're born with it. So if racism is inherent, the question is, are we born domestic terrorists? But it goes deeper than that. Then it talks about anti-government sentiment and anti-authority sentiment. And this is where it gets dangerous. The anti-government sentiment, if you call for small, limited government, if you criticize the government in any way, are you going to be deemed as someone that has anti-government sentiment, anti-authority? If you question government powers, if you push back against the government, if you look at the coronavirus and you question the mandates that came out as unconstitutional, well, now you're classified as anti-authority. And just think back, over 1,200 public health officials a year ago signed a letter stating that if you protest lockdowns, that's white nationalism. So we have these vague terms that are being used that really could encompass anything. If you question the 2020 election and bring up the idea of election fraud, if you talk about COVID and question the mandates that came out, or conspiracies, engage in what the government deems conspiracies, that could incite domestic terrorism, and therefore you can get punished for it. So if you put out a tweet talking about election fraud, are you now going to be targeted and labeled a domestic terrorist? So then the document lays out the four pillars in how it's going to combat, push back against domestic terrorism. You see widespread monitoring of American civilians. You see a partnership with big tech, the financial sector, to give up Americans' private information. You see censorship. It talks about the supply and demand of information online.
So that's very important information. This is the beginning of the totalitarian state. It started on January 20th when the imbecile in chief was sworn in, and his handlers are now taking, they're running the show. And none other than liberal journalist Glenn Greenwald, he summed up why the FBI is probably guilty of helping to plan and execute January 6th. Listen to this guy, Glenn Greenwald.
They literally put John Brennan, who works for NBC, and James Clapper, who works for CNN, and tons of FBI agents right on the payroll of these news organizations. They now shape the news openly to manipulate and deceive the American population. So if you're an American wondering what foreknowledge and involvement did the FBI have in January 6th, if you go and listen to those networks, you're going to get lies, because the only people they're asking are people who are serving those agencies and acting to disseminate disinformation. That's what those outlets are. Stop the Terrorist Plot Domestically was actually a plot that they themselves governed and directed with informants and with operatives exactly of the type that we know for certain they put into the Proud Boys and the Three Percenters, two of the three groups they claim are behind January 6th. So the only way you could claim this is some kind of a crazy conspiracy theory is if you're either completely ignorant about what the FBI does or lying on purpose to cover up what the FBI does when it acts domestically.
Very important stuff, ladies and gentlemen. January 6th, conversations about what happened on November 3rd were completely shut down, or you were called a domestic terrorist. And that's why this is important, because some shady stuff happened on November 3rd. We do know that. On the Bernie and Sid Show, we're coming right back.
We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77.
WABC.
It's just a silly phase I'm going through. And just because I call you up, don't get me wrong.
Happy first day of summer. Happy Father's Day. As we talked about 90 minutes ago at the start of the show, I went down to the water in Riverside Park yesterday and talked to my late dad, who died last July 1st. This was my first Father's Day without him. And I went out to have a very nice Father's Day with the family. Bernard as well. Bernie had a great day with his family. Did you see your father yesterday?
No. He lives quite a distance.
Right.
I'll see him in less than 2 weeks.
July 4th. Oh, right, exactly. So we had a nice time. Today is the first day of summer. Again, cloudy out today. I'm so happy that we had the weather we had yesterday, and we didn't have what we have today, yesterday, at least so far. This could clear up, but it looks a little overcast today. Yesterday was gorgeous. It was perfect for
yesterday
Father's Day.
Yesterday was great. It really was.
Right?
Yeah. I actually came into the Bronx and visited my boys, Hector and Isaiah.
That's right. How was your trip?
It was all right.
Yeah.
We went over to City Island and spent a nice Father's Day. And
very nice.
I celebrated with my wife, Carol, and my kids Saturday.
Oh, you did? Oh, that's right. You did it Saturday. Did you go to your buddy Ronnie's place or someplace exciting?
No.
The steakhouse you liked there?
We stayed local.
You did?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a very nice weekend, is all I can say. It was pleasant. Look, speaking of Father's Day, I often mention the Babylon Bee. You know,
these
various hoaxes we've seen over the years, especially these noose hoaxes all the time, news hoaxes, NASCAR news hoax,
yes.
Jussie Smollett, usually perpetrated by guys like Jussie Smollett. And the Babylon Bee headline is, man horrified as kids give him noose for Father's Day, and he's holding up a necktie.
No.
With the it's already preformed. I mean,
right.
That's the joke.
Right.
It looks like a noose, but
that was the Bubba Wallace controversy. NASCAR, Bubba
the NASCAR
Wallace.
News hoax.
That was nonsense, right?
Exactly right. So anyway, that was funny. But look, yesterday, of course, as you mentioned, Father's Day, and they did have a Father's Day Black Fathers March, a sort of a tacit acknowledgement that black fathers mattered and that they're missing maybe in a lot of cases. So much so, this is in Brooklyn. So much so that this fat Joe, he's a rapper, Fat Joe.
I know Fat Joe.
Don't get at me for the fat shaming or whatever the hell it is.
That's his
name. He calls himself
right.
Fat Joe.
Right.
This is what he said at the march. Listen to Fat Joe.
You know, fathers are out there working hard for their kids. To the fathers that weren't really there, they were young, going through some stuff. Yeah. Now they're getting their stuff together. Get back in your kids' lives.
Now, you want to have a real conversation about, you know, race and stuff like that. Well, how about maybe fatherlessness, right?
That's where it starts. It starts right there.
Stats here from the government website, and here it is. In the United States, 23.9 million children live absent their biological fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Fatherless children represent, and here you go, 63% of teen suicides, 70% of juveniles in state institutions, 71% of high school dropouts, 75% of children in chemical abuse centers. These are fatherless kids.
Yep.
80% of racists, rapists, 85% of youths in prison, and 90% of homeless and runaway children come from families without a dad.
Yeah, well, that's the number one
issue.
And
that goes for black and white.
I know, but
and Latino and Asian.
I'd like to know the numbers of black families without fathers compared to white.
Well, it seems like there's an inordinate number there, but I don't have that particular number in front of me. But I'm sure a crack staff in there will.
Talking about great African American men, Herschel Walker. To this day, and I'm an avid college football fan. Avid. You could make the argument that he's the greatest college football player ever. Had a very nice pro career, too, mind you, when he was the guy that Dallas ended up trading and building the whole team. Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, all because of the Herschel Walker trade. But we know, of course, that Herschel is a big President Trump guy, big President Trump guy. He's on Fox News all the time, and he is he's a rational, good thinker. And we love Herschel Walker on this show. Well, he tweeted this week in a video, and he's kind of hinting, Bernie McGurk, that the great Georgia Bulldog running back may very well run for Senate in the state of Georgia. Here he is, Herschel Walker.
Hey, what you hear there is hope. That's what I call it. You know, he's ready. I'm getting ready. And we can run with the big dogs.
I'm getting ready. We can run with the big dogs. My memory of Herschel Walker, this is unbelievable. I was a season ticket holder, my late father Harvey was, of the New Jersey Generals. We had quarterbacks like Brian Sipe and Doug Flutie. And the backfield for that team was Herschel Walker and Maurice Carthon. And who owned the Jersey Generals? One Donald Trump. So I used to see Herschel Walker play football games in New Jersey for Donald Trump.
They considered themselves friends.
Ever since then, they've been great friends.
Listen, if this lady Kelly Loeffler is considering running, you know the racist guy that won?
Warnock.
Warnock.
Yes.
He's up for re-election in 2022. It was just a two-year deal for him. And I believe it was Kelly Loeffler who ran against him. Anyway, she's the one who's thinking of running on a Republican side again in 2022, would be a disaster. I mean, she was a horrible candidate. Remember how wooden she was?
Oh, she was terrible.
I mean, she would vote the right way, but she was a terrible, terrible candidate.
Yes.
Herschel Walker would be perfect.
He's going to be perfect, yeah. Because they lost to Warnock, and I think Ossoff is the other guy that beat us in Georgia.
Yeah, right. John Ossoff.
Right, he's a real douchebag.
The little spoiled socialist.
The worst.
Right.
The worst.
The guilty white, the little spoiled socialist. Yeah, he wants to be a socialist. But look, I like Herschel Walker. I like that a lot.
Let's go.
Look, speaking of this weekend, Father's Day, it was also Juneteenth.
Yes, it was.
On Saturday.
You know it.
Let me just ask you this question.
Sure.
Why didn't President Obama ever recognize Juneteenth? I mean,
President Obama?
Yeah, why didn't he ever make designated a holiday? What was up with that racist? Was it with the white side of him kept it out?
I don't think he cared about black people. He only cared about black people when he wanted the whole United States to burn down at the Ferguson, Missouri.
All of a sudden, every ex-president alive was racist for not recognizing Juneteenth. But Joe Biden, the guy who gave a sermon for a grand wizard in the KKK.
Whose own vice president called him a racist after the first debate. During the first debate, excuse me.
Yeah, exactly right. So maybe all of this stuff, And he is a complete Trojan. He's a fraud. Trojan horse, I should say. He's a puppet, disoriented, all these things. And he's everything that we said he might be. Everything bad that you could possibly imagine that Joe Biden, that we thought he might be, has come to fruition. It really is bad. And his cognitive ability. Here, play this Biden one. Remember this from last week? Biden. Now, his cognitive ability, they want him to take a cognitive test. This is Biden last week in response to a question. Listen.
Vladimir Putin laughed at the suggestion that you had called him a killer. Is that still your belief, sir, that he is a killer?
To answer the first question, I'm laughing, too. They actually... Well, look, I mean, he has made clear that
Hello, Joe.
The answer is, I believe he is in the past essentially acknowledged.
There you go. Point made. So this congressman from Texas, Ronnie Jackson, he used to be the physician for Donald Trump.
I remember
they used to say, Trump should take a cognitive test. Well, guess what? He took it, and he passed it with flying colors. Anyway, this is Ronnie Jackson on why Congressman Ronnie Jackson, physician, Joe Biden should take a cognitive test, as if we didn't know.
I took care of three presidents over 15 years in the White House, including being the physician to the president for both Barack Obama and Donald J. Trump. And, you know, I know what the rigors of this job are, both physically and cognitively. It's demanding. And after this performance, I mean, we've been seeing this for a year and a half now. I've been saying that Joe Biden is not, he's not physically or cognitively fit to be our president right now. I'm asking Joe Biden and his medical team to get out there and to get this physical exam done, get this cognitive testing done, and get the results back to the American people. We need to know that we can trust our president, and we need to know that he's in charge of what's going on.
And we need to know, yeah, we need to know the results of that test, if he ever takes it. In either case, we know what the outcome will be. He's already so impaired. So he's such a dope. That's why I call him the imbecile in chief. And I'm just mad. I'm really angry at the fact this bait and switch they pulled with Joe Biden. But in one last thing here, Bill Maher, this guy, again, these people are coming around. Maybe the New York Post had an article entitled Tide Turning Against Woke Liberal Blob That Misrules Us. And of all people, this unfunny little schmuck, Kevin Hart, came out over the weekend. And he said, actually, it was last Thursday or Friday.
You just extolling Kevin Hart's virtues.
I know,
last week.
I was.
What happened?
Because he told people that want cancel culture to shut the F up.
Right.
Well, now I'm telling him to shut the F up. And so this is what he said. This is Kevin Hart, who, by the way, I saw on these Chase Bank commercials. I must have seen 15 times over the weekend.
Stupid.
Chase Bank. You know, you probably got paid $2 million for like a half day's work.
Right.
And this is what he said. He said that white supremacy is out of control.
He said
white racism has never been worse than it is today.
Stop.
He actually said that. And so we remember now last week, Bill Maher, he called out people about this racism stuff in the wake of Joe Biden and the Tulsa the obscene lies that he told about the United States. Well, anyway, Bill Maher on Friday night, he actually reacted to Kevin Hart's comments. And I don't know, Bill Maher, and a lot of liberals, first it was Jon Stewart, now it's Bill Maher, they're coming around. Listen to Bill Maher.
Kevin Hart expressed a view many hold when he times, you're witnessing white power and white privilege at an all-time high. This is one of the big problems with wokeness, that what you say doesn't have to make sense or jive with the facts or ever be challenged, lest the challenge itself be conflated with racism. But saying white power and privilege is at an all-time high is just ridiculous. Higher than a century ago, the year of the Tulsa race massacre? Higher than the years when the KKK rode unchecked and Jim Crow went unchallenged? Higher than the 1960s when the Supremes and Willie Mays still couldn't stay in the same hotel as the white people they were working with?
This is excellent.
Higher than during slavery? And I mean actual slavery, not Prince doesn't like his record contract slavery.
Wow, that was excellent.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's so true. I hope there's this type of awakening. Maybe not in your neighborhood on the Upper West Side.
No.
But a lot of liberals, again, maybe turning against us. This CRT, this racism they're teaching in school, in the military as well, these sailors and soldiers because of Tom Cotton and Congressman Crenshaw, the ex-Navy SEAL. They opened up a hotline, said, listen, tell us about racial bullying that's going on in the military, and these guys are exposing it. So maybe there's hope for this country.
A big day in sports. What an exciting finish at the U.S. Open yesterday. A birdie on 17, a birdie on 18, and a guy that was winning a tournament 2 weeks ago, and they sent him home because he tested positive for COVID, wins his first major, and it's a big one. It's the U.S. Open. You've got that story, plus more, and Lydia Reports is coming up next.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
This report is sponsored by the Russian Tea Room. Are you on a budget and need to impress your business partners, or you have a special occasion, or you just want to go out for a great day in this city? Check out the Russian Tea Room. It offers the ultimate iconic experience, a three-course meal for just $55. RussianTeaRoomNYC.com. CNN media expert Brian Stelter was recently on C-SPAN, where people can call in and give their comments. And one person after the other roasted Mr. Potato Head. Take a listen.
As Brian on national television admit he and his network are a bunch of liars about Donald Trump.
Mr. Stelter is the biggest minister of misinformation I have ever heard, and I'm a news junkie. He made the statement just a few minutes ago that the stories are always evolving. Yeah, stories absolutely evolve.
Yes, I was just wondering if you still feel like Michael Avenatti is the greatest thing in the world and should run for president of the United States. And my suggestion is whatever CNN says, do the opposite and you'll be fine.
That's great. That is fantastic. That's funny. I did play the montage of CNN freaking out over Tucker Carlson almost stating that the FBI participated, planned, and executed, at least helped plan and execute the January 6th trespassing on the Capitol. Certainly not an insurrection. But so the more they squeal about it, the more that makes me believe that it actually happened. But yeah, that Brian Stelter weasel, he deserves all that stuff. Avenatti, that was hilarious. He recently did Stelter. He had circle back Jen in the show. And you know what he asked her? This is what he asked her. He says, what can we in the press do better? What are we doing wrong? What can we do better?
He's so gross.
I swear to God.
How about telling the truth?
Yeah, how about that?
Let's start with that.
How about the collusion hoax, the very fine people hoax, the Avenatti, Kavanaugh rape hoax, and then, of course, the Covington kids hoax.
Oh, did you guys read the article?
The Jussie Smollett hoax? Go ahead. I'm sorry, Lydia.
I'm sorry. No. Did you read the New York Magazine article about New York One? And Brian Stelter's wife.
There. Yeah, Jamie.
Yeah. Okay, so I've known about this. His wife is a bully. That's the consensus there. I know a lot of people that work there. I know a girl that's also mentioned in the article that work there. Jamie Stelter, Brian Stelter's wife, which, by the way, Pat Kiernan hooked them up, is a mean girl. She's like the Regina George of New York One. She gets paid a fortune, and she talks crap about her other employees. And there's one girl that's mentioned in the article, one woman, Stacey Ann Gooden, who's now a great meteorologist over at Pix 11. She's a black woman.
Yes.
And she says that when she was going to interview Shirlene McCrae, you know, Bill de Blasio's wife, that Jamie and Pat Kiernan were pushing Stacey to ask Shirlene, how does Dante get his afro so big? And all these other like racially charged questions. So isn't it ironic that you have a black woman who worked at New York One and she had to quit. And then they begged her to stay because they said the optics look bad. But she was like, I can't take this abuse anymore by Jamie Stelter and Pat Kiernan. And yet you see Brian Stelter and CNN and Jamie, if you look at their social media, you look at them on the air, they're like these champions of equal rights and critical race theory. And yet behind the scenes, they are the biggest hypocrites and they treat people like crap.
Racist creeps, essentially, is what
I don't want to say racist.
I'll say it but loudly and proudly. They at least she is, according to that article, a racist creep. And by the way, at New York One, there was a purge. Remember all the
women.
According to some of them, we weren't as attractive as some of the younger ladies. and they pushed us out. They pushed us to secondary roles, and they sued. New York won, but Jamie Stelter was not among them.
No, Jamie's on the morning show every day with Pergament and Kiernan.
Right, but she kind of fits, might have fit into that category.
No, she's younger than Roma Torres or the rest of those.
Well,
ladies.
Maybe in another area she might
maybe,
fit into that
maybe,
category.
Right.
I don't know. I'm just speculating.
Jamie's beloved.
Yeah, I know.
Jamie's
she is.
Beloved
yeah.
because she's with Pat Kiernan. They have the same agent.
Right.
They all three of them, Pergament and it. Seltzer, and they all have the right. same agent. But it's just like to read that article and to hear how Jamie treated her coworkers allegedly. It's really disgusting. It's really disgusting.
None of those girls got promoted. Like Shannon Ferry, she will occasionally host, and she's great. I love Shannon, but she didn't get a full time job, and neither did the other girl. Left altogether. The pretty girl who did the traffic. She's at Channel 5 now. What is her name, Lydia?
Elise Wick.
Yes, the one who does the Islander games.
But now,
yeah.
Wait a second. Why do you call her the pretty girl? By implication, when you call her pretty, you're saying the others are not.
Correct.
And do you know Elise, she used to be a former Jets dancer. She was a
yes.
former Miss New York. She's really sweet, sweet girl. And when she was, because she was so attractive, she was basically yelled at by management and New York One to stop posting attractive pictures of
that's
herself
right.
because it was taking shine away from Jamie.
And they also, they wouldn't allow
Jamie.
Her. Yeah, they wouldn't allow her to anchor. She wanted to anchor.
Right.
And they would not allow her to anchor.
Hey, listen.
Because she was attractive.
Listen to your boy, Brian Stelter, just a nauseating display with this circle back at Jen Psaki.
Busy summer ahead, infrastructure, election reform. What does the press get wrong when covering Biden's agenda?
What?
When you watch the news, when you read the news, what do you think we get wrong?
Well, look, I think some of our muscles have atrophied a little bit over the last few years, and there isn't a lot of memory, or recent memory, or longer memory on how long it takes to get legislation forward, or how messy the process of negotiating and the process of getting legislation across the finish line can be.
You know, how about, did anybody ask anybody in the press ask either her or the imbecile in chief why he lied overseas about Officer Brian Sicknick being killed by a quote-unquote criminal mob? Did anybody ask him why he lied when his own Justice Department documented that the guy died of natural causes the day after the riots from a stroke? Anybody? That's what you're getting wrong. Lydia, if anybody asked Psaki or Biden that question?
Absolutely not, because it'll shift their narrative that this was a murderous mob and this was the greatest attack on democracy ever. And then, of course, that white supremacy is the biggest threat facing our nation. It's a plague when all you have to do is take a look at social media and you see that the greatest threat facing our country right now is inner city violence and gangs and, you know, young people killing young people.
Exactly right. Murdering. And also, who these 14 unindicted co-conspirators are that were involved in January 6th, and they won't name them. They won't indict them. They won't name them. They could be rats, but they could be FBI. They probably, a lot of them, the majority of them are FBI people who were planted by the FBI to incite and execute this riot, so-called riot, during which the police actually let them in and let them into the Capitol building. But either way, I digress. I'm sorry, Lydia.
Well, you have Chicago's Mayor Lightfoot. What did she say? She wants to spend all this money on like bias training. She doesn't want to have reporters that are white interview her. Meanwhile, just this weekend alone, about 50 people were shot, and murder continues to be the number one cause of death for young black men across the country. But white supremacy is the problem here.
Right, exactly. We're murdered by white supremacists.
There's like not even a single incident. Again, this report is sponsored by the Russian Tea Room. You have to try their afternoon tea at the Russian Tea Room. Make sure you have your little pinky out. And it's an enchanting experience, ideal for pre-theater or a special occasion. You can have the caviar. It's really good. I hadn't had caviar in a really long time. Then I had it there and I was like, this is amazing. With the little butter, and then the waiter does it for you with his little white gloves. You could check out their afternoon tea daily from noon until 4:30 p.m. Check out the Russian Tea Room at 150 West 57th Street.
Stay entertained and informed now with Bernie and Sid in the Morning.
Got a message here from Kim on Instagram. Sid, love you, and Bernie, you're absolutely right. Men are stronger than women. Simple genetics. That goes back to the discussion earlier about this weightlifter who's a woman but she's really a man. She's going to lift for New Zealand in the Olympics, which is ridiculous. Then she said, can you possibly mention the rally for Patrick Ryder? You must know him, Bernie. He's the Nassau County Police Commissioner. It's at 6 p.m. tonight in Mineola, County Legislature Building on Franklin Avenue. So the big rally tonight for Patrick. Do you know Patrick?
Well, do you remember the, what I said this morning?
No, I don't.
About the Nassau County Executive Laura Curran.
Laura Curran, yeah.
She is defending this guy, Nassau Police Commissioner Patrick Ryder, because, and by the way, the Nassau County
Executive. Oh, yes, that was him.
Is like being a mayor, yeah.
That was him, gotcha, okay.
He made some really innocuous, truthful comments.
Yes.
They were talking to him about recruiting minorities onto the Nassau County Police Force.
Right.
And he said very candidly that, look, I want as many as possible. But a lot of times their backgrounds are not conducive. They don't have role models.
You're talking about African Americans.
Dads who are cops.
Right. Plus they hate cops.
A
lot of them hate them.
Either way, what he said, and I should get the tape. I had it a couple of weeks ago. But he said nothing wrong. That's all he said.
I agree.
He says, I want to, but there's just not a big pool to choose from, and therefore we don't have as many.
Okay.
So, Laura Curran stuck up for him. She said, I'm not firing him. He didn't say anything wrong.
Well, tonight is the big rally, 6 p.m. Mineola, County Legislature Building on Franklin Avenue. 9 o'clock hour coming up, including Beat Bernie. Keep it right here.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Maybe I don't want to know the reason why. But lately you don't talk to me. Darling, I can't see me in your eyes. You're so far away, and it's losing you. I can't believe to watch you leave and let this feeling die.
So I got four tickets to the Met game tonight. Hey, O'Halloran, for some reason I was told the game starts at 5:10. Can you check on that? It's an odd starting time.
No, he's right. He's right.
Is that right?
I mean, that's right. I shouldn't say he's right. That is correct, yes.
Seriously?
Positive.
How do you know that?
1,000%. Because I know. I heard it. I saw it.
Okay, yeah. So 5:10.
I can confirm 5:10.
Nice job, Bernie. But they say it's supposed to a thunderstorm or something. So I don't know. I invited Joe Beningo, not F.A.N.'s Joe Beningo, Real Housewives, New Jersey. And I invited, I think, my son. But I don't know. The weather looks bad. I may just give him away. So you know what? It's 100% capacity now in the Bronx for the Yanks. 100% capacity now in Queens for the Mets. So it's time to get back to the ballgame. The Giants and Jets already announced 100% capacity of the U.S. Open. All that is, everything's wide open, so maybe I'll go to a different date. I don't know. You want them?
No, thank you. I would rather probably attend, given the choice, the rally
Open.
For Patrick Ryder.
Oh, right.
Out
right.
In
yes,
Nassau
you would.
County.
You mean that, too.
Yeah, the Nassau Police Commissioner. This guy's great, Patrick Ryder. And it really given him a raw deal by these accusations of, you know, these false accusations of racism, of course. I mean, the guy spoke the truth. He's trying to get as many diverse Nassau County cops as possible.
Yeah.
And good for Laura Curran for sticking up for the guy and realizing that, you know, which is what I said, which is that he did nothing wrong.
Oh, I think I said Mark Rosen before. It's Mark Cohen, my friend from the Beach Club. I did say Mark Rosen, and his name is Mark Cohen. One last thing. You know, Letitia Romero has become a good friend of ours on this show. Her daughter, Jen, hangs out a lot with, what's our friend? The real Tina. So we got to know Jen through the real Tina. And then Letitia came in. She's running for Staten Island Borough President. And she's been out with me and Bernie twice, and she loves us. In fact, I saw her at the Columbus Day press conference we put on to save Columbus Day. Piscopo, Arthur Idala, all those guys. Right. So Vito Pacella has now been endorsed by Trump and Giuliani. And I know this because Chris Ruddy, my buddy from Newsmax, our buddy, made me aware of that. And he wants us to put Vito Pacella on the show. But, I mean, I'm on record, and so are you for that matter. But I'll state it myself. I'm on record endorsing Letitia Romero. So I love Trump. I love Rudy. and who they pick is probably a good candidate, but what am I supposed to do now? It's like when I endorsed Lee Zeldin, and then I almost changed my mind with Andrew Giuliani, and you yelled at me.
We could put him on the show and continue our support for Jen Romero. I mean, she's not afraid of a debate, I'm sure.
We can do that?
Yeah, we can do that.
All right.
By the way, we have to do it quickly because tomorrow is the primary.
Oh, it's a doubleheader. That's right. Tomorrow there's a doubleheader. That's why it's a 5:10 start. But you're right. Tomorrow is a primary, so we'd have to do it quickly, yes.
All right. So speaking of Long Island, this got national attention over the weekend. It wasn't the New York Post and then got national attention. This dude out in Long Beach. Actually, a couple of months ago, I saw this guy on Park Avenue in Long Beach, and I took pictures of him, and I posted these pictures. This dude, he has a Porsche, and he also has a sort of a Jeep truck. Anyway, it's all kinds of Trump flags and F Joe Biden. Cuomo is an idiot. Fauci is a fool. This, that, the other. And it turns out the city of Long Beach, and he has the same thing on his where he lives, on the outdoors of where he lives. He puts all these flags and posters. The city of Long Beach has told him he has to take it down. They gave him a summons.
I'm surprised.
Long Beach? And the cop didn't want to do it. He was ordered by the city authorities. So the guy's name is Michael Wasserman, and he says that they're bending and misogynizing some ordinance to fit the crime. This is a blatant attempt to silence me. So he's suing the city of Long Beach for $25 million.
Interesting.
Now, the entire Long Beach City Council is Democrat. He'll never get the money, but he probably will get the ability to keep the flags up. That's just a local story for me. So you go, Michael Wasserman. His lawyer is a liberal Democrat. And he says this is a selective ideology targeting. He's one of these tried and true Democrats who still believe in free speech. That's the city of Long Beach. Also, over the weekend, I told you about this, down in Fort Lauderdale. I just did that story, didn't I? What did I just tell you to have there? Come on, tell me. Oh, yes. Tomorrow's ranked choice voting, right? Ranked choice voting.
Well, primary, yes.
Democrat primary is ranked choice voting. So our colleague...
Well, but both primaries are tomorrow, right?
Yes, that's right. But the ranked choice voting really goes down with the Democrats, not the Republicans. There's only two candidates there. So it makes no sense, this ranked choice voting. Nobody can figure it out. Nobody can explain it satisfactorily. But Frank Morano took a stab at it this morning on his great show. He hosts the overnights from 1 till 5 to 6:30, whatever. He's great. He's fantastic. I listened to him this morning.
1 to 5 is the overnight. 5 to 6:30 is the early news with Julia, but she's out this week.
Right.
And me.
It was great this morning listening to Frank. So anyway, he tried to explain ranked choice voting. This is what he said.
All right. Ranked choice voting is being used for the first time in New York City's Democratic mayoral primary. But how exactly does it work? If you're still not clear, listen closely. Voters rank up to 5 of the 13 candidates that are running based on their preference. Once the polls close on Tuesday, it's highly unlikely a single candidate will have more than 50% of the vote. So at that point, the candidate in the last place is eliminated, and the votes for that candidate are then reallocated to whichever candidate those voters ranked second. Clear? Good. This process is repeated. Even if one candidate passes the 50% threshold, until there are only 2 candidates left, with the leader then declared the winner.
Is that clear to you, Sid?
Nope.
Not at all. Of course not. Nobody can explain it.
And he's a smart guy, but I'm more confused now than I was before.
Thank you. And also, it doesn't explain. Explain to me, please, how you can get the most votes and still lose.
Well, I'll tell you how. Let's say I'll give you a point system.
Or why?
I'll give you a point system. You get 5 points for every win. You get 3 points for every second place finish. You get 2 points every third place finish. You add up the points, and you can get a lot of first place votes, which are 5. But if somebody else is getting 3s and 2s and 3s and 2s, they're going to beat you. So if you made it like a point system, right, 5-4-3-2-1, if you get a bunch of 4s and 3s, you're going to beat the 5s.
Yeah, still makes no sense. You're still the person who gets the most votes can still lose.
I agree.
First place votes.
But that's
loses.
How it would work. You would assign points to each place, 5 for first place, 4 for second. And if somebody gets a lot of 4 points and 3 points, they would outscore
Which may explain why, say, Andrew Yang teamed up with Catherine Garcia over the weekend. Some sort of ploy to manipulate the votes.
Right.
Which lends itself to manipulation and fraud.
Of course. So, they're trying to keep votes away from Eric Adams because he's supposed to win.
You're not going to find out the results for a couple of weeks. So forget about watching the news results tomorrow night. You're not going to know who wins. They're going to give you early results, who came in first. That's it. Maybe. Weird. Who knows? But it makes no sense whatsoever. Look, I talked also earlier about Tucker Carlson on Friday night doubling down on the fact that the FBI actually helped plan and execute the January 6th quote-unquote riots. He's doubling down on it. There are 14 unindicted co-conspirators, unnamed. Why won't they name them? Well, they might be rats. That's possible. But chances are Tucker did augment his argument with examples of the FBI plotting previous terror attacks. When they worked against Islamic terrorists, the majority of the terror attacks that they, quote-unquote, thwarted, they were actively involved in planning. There was one guy that he pointed out. He was a pizza delivery man who was just some 19-year-old lost soul working for a pizza shop. And two FBI agents pretended to be women and got him to say things. And ultimately, he said to them, listen, I would never hurt anybody. I hope you would never hurt anybody. And that's what he said. And after that, they arrested him, and he's in jail right now still. So they set him up sort of similar, and they did the same thing in the Garland, Texas shooting by the Islamic terrorists on the church down there. In fact, the local police arrested the FBI agent at the scene. They arrested him at the scene. So what Tucker is saying makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. They have 14,000 hours of footage they haven't received released. We've seen the cops wave the people into the building. Yeah. What else are they hiding? What else are they hiding? Now, just give this some thought. CNN was also the purveyors of this big Russia collusion hoax, among many other hoaxes. But they were the purveyors of that hoax for 3 years, and they hired a bunch of deep state lowlives. Deep state liars, Andrew McCabe, James Clapper. These are known liars, and these are the guys that they're depending on for this information. And when they squeal the most, that means that, well, it sounds to me that means that Tucker is right. Listen to them squealing about what Tucker said. CNN.
And now it's the FBI? Tucker Carlson's newest baseless theory about the insurrection and how he is spreading it to millions of people.
A new conspiracy theory is emerging about the attack on the U.S. Capitol. You hear this? Directly from Hate TV.
This is the beginning of a new effort to rewrite what happened on January 6th, even though it is wrong, and as you will hear from one of our analysts, impossibly wrong.
And the whole crux of it is that this was an FBI insider operation. Clearly untrue. Clearly untrue. Totally baseless.
Let me say, again, it's insane to think that the FBI did this.
So would you put it past the deep state and the FBI after what Comey and company did to President Trump?
I actually believe Tucker Carlson. Now, Lowry today said he doesn't think so. They spoke to Andrew McCarthy, blah, blah, blah.
But he was naive to the Russia collusion thing also.
True.
Was Rich Lowry.
I actually think Tucker's done a good job of, he's convinced me at least, that at the very least, it's a real possibility.
And then you have this liberal journalist who he has on all the time, this Glenn Greenwald, who is, again, a traditional liberal. Who believes, again, in free speech, as I pointed out before.
He's going to have to start chopping that moniker because we play him an awful lot the last couple of months.
He's consistent. They changed. They went in a totalitarian direction.
True.
He's still a liberal for free speech. The ACLU used to stick up for Klan members who wanted to march in Ohio because it was protected, and it is protected by the Constitution, the First Amendment. Anyway, this is what Glenn Greenwald said on Friday night when nobody was watching on Tucker's show. Listen.
During the Trump years, the CIA and the FBI became overwhelmingly popular among American liberals. They worshiped the FBI and the CIA because they viewed it as the bulwark against Trump. So if you're serving a liberal audience, the last thing you know your audience wants to hear, and their audience is disappearing, so they're petrified of them, is anything that is questioning of or critical of the FBI. On top of which, all these news outlets are filled on their payroll with former operatives of the FBI. FBI and the CIA. So, for example, when CNN wanted to cover this story, who did they invite on? They said, let's get the truth, Chris Cuomo said. Here's my colleague, the former deputy director of the FBI. Who, what journalist talks to the FBI to get the truth about the FBI when the question is the FBI being truthful or is their actions less than scrupulous? But these outlets are completely constructed to serve this worshipful view of the FBI and the CIA that everything that they say should never be questioned. That's what drove Russiagate for 5 years. So many of the false conspiracy theories that these outlets spread, and they're doing it again.
There you go. Brilliant analysis by Glenn Greenwald. And the number two FBI guy he's talking about that they hired is the guy who was fired from the FBI for lying. Andrew McCabe.
Yeah. 1-800-848-WABC. As always, that's the number, 1-800-848-9222. We'll take a contestant as we get ready for Beat Bernie. Comes your way at 940. Brought to you by our dear friend, the great Pete Morgan. And Peerless Boilers, your chance at $100 and a WABC Barry House coffee mug.
Stay informed all day on 77 WABC. Bernie and Sid in the Morning now. Brian Kilmeade next at 10.
Are you in or are you out?
On 77 WABC.
Mike and the Mechanics, All I Need is a Miracle. You ever want to sit down and consider how talented Genesis was? You had this guy, Mike Rutherford, from Mike and the Mechanics. Peter Gabriel, of course, In Your Eyes, all those great songs. Phil Collins, what a band. Folks, it's the day before the primary, and Talk Radio 77 WABC has you covered with a two-hour erection.
What happened? Come on, Imus.
Let's start that over, okay? It's the day, or Chuck Schumer for that matter. It's the day before the primary.
That's right.
And Talk Radio 77 WABC has you covered with a two-hour election special today and tomorrow from 4 to 6. Join our main man, love him, John Catsimatidis, who I know had a beautiful Father's Day yesterday, Lydia Serrani, Dominic Carter, and an esteemed roster of election experts. That's a WABC election special, 4 to 6, today and tomorrow, only right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
You know, last week I was, as you know, oh, by the way, let me ask you this question first.
Sure, whatever you like.
Why is it that we celebrated Juneteenth over the weekend?
Yeah, well, you did. I didn't.
I did with my... well, my two other kids, the younger ones up in the BX. Hector and Isaiah.
Right.
But either way, why is it that President Obama never recognized Juneteenth? If it's racist now not to want to recognize it, why didn't Obama recognize it back then?
Because he's not black, Obama.
Really? Is that the reason?
I think so.
He's half black. Maybe he was.
Nah,
I don't know. He's half black.
He's not half black.
Yes, he is. His father was from Kenya.
He is?
Yeah.
When did he care about black people?
I don't know.
I mean, he did help promote that lie from Ferguson, Missouri. He did do that.
All of a sudden, though, Juneteenth it comes up. Now, Biden never said anything about Juneteenth back in the day. All of a sudden, now they're like, yeah, we know about Juneteenth. Hey, we got to make it a holiday. Okay, yeah, great. But why didn't they do it back then is my question.
Why didn't they?
I don't know.
Yeah.
AOC seems to think.
Oh, it's the white man.
Part of the Hamas squad.
Yeah.
She seems to think she knows the reason for all this. Listen to her.
We had, what was it, like 20 Republicans who opposed it last night, and they were all men, and they were all white, like all white men. There weren't even women, like no diversity in it. And it just goes to show that there's a lot of denialism. And that also...
What word is that?
Why they don't want us to teach the history of racism.
I don't want to hear it.
Did you say denialism?
That's almost as bad as the New York Times editorial board member trying to say expletives, calling it explicatives.
I remember that.
In other words, it wasn't a mispronunciation.
I know.
She really thought it was explicatives.
But this girl thinks there's a word, denialism?
Denialism.
listen.
Denialism isn't just a river in Egypt, you know.
Let's be honest. She really is a moron.
Yeah, that's
funny. Come on.
Not
kidding.
Only that,
she's a moron.
Not only that, a complete and total racist. She just admitted it.
Yep.
All she saw was the color of people's skin. That's all she saw. That is it. That's the definition of a racist, in addition to thinking that one race is superior to another, which we have people in the DOJ, Biden's DOJ, who actually think that. Yeah, that's another story. Speaking of all that, last week, again, I started to say I was extolling the virtues of the dwarf Kevin Hart, the unfunny comic, you know, this guy whose movies suck.
Well, his movies aren't bad. He's actually good in the movies, but his stand-up routines are, I've never finished one on Netflix, never one.
I never
shut him off.
Say a funny thing.
Jumanji, he's good in that. He's very good in Jumanji. But anyway, who cares?
He's
overrated. He gets too much money.
And who is his audience? His audience is not just a black audience.
No way. It's a white audience.
Majority white audience.
Who do you think buys those tickets for those horrible shows? They're not blacks.
I saw commercials with this little jerk all weekend long for Chase Bank commercials. He probably got like $2 million for a half a day's work.
With his white neighbor? And he's like, why are you yelling? And Kevin's like, that's what I do.
So he went, like Thursday or Friday, he said that the white privilege is out of control or white supremacy is out of control, something like that. But take heart, ladies and gentlemen, because like he did the week before, one liberal, Bill Maher, and again, you had Jon Stewart coming out. He says the lab leak theory is definitely, it's not just a theory. It actually, that was the origin. You have a bunch of people, Chris Rock and a bunch of others coming out against cancel culture. But Bill Maher, specifically, on the unfunny Kevin Hart, this little schmuck's comments. Listen to Bill Maher.
Kevin Hart expressed a view many hold when he times, you're witnessing white power and white privilege at an all-time high. This is one of the big problems with wokeness, that what you say doesn't have to make sense or jibe with the facts or ever be challenged, lest the challenge itself be conflated with racism. But saying white power and privilege is at an all-time high is just ridiculous. Higher than a century ago, the year of the Tulsa race massacre? Higher than the years when the KKK rode unchecked and Jim Crow went unchallenged? Higher than the 1960s when the Supremes and Willie Mays still couldn't stay in the same hotel as the white people they were working with? Higher than during slavery? And I mean actual slavery, not Prince doesn't like his record contract slavery.
You know, he may have called Sarah Palin the C-word, but that guy makes more and more sense. He did on Islamic terror for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, he bucked the trend of the liberal trend of apologizing for it, not even calling it Islamic terrorism. He did. And he is, again, with this white supremacy hoax.
You played him last week, too.
White supremacy, this whole notion, is a hoax. Last week we played him because he was talking about, you have him from last week? Yes, you do. It's there. Either way, last week he was talking about...
something else he made sense. He said we play him every week. He makes sense.
Yeah, he was talking about Joe Biden and the Tulsa massacre.
Oh, that's right.
2021 versus 1921.
Right.
And he made eminent sense. Bill Maher did, and again, for 2 weeks in a row, making sense like that. So there's hope. Keep hope alive. Traffic and sports is coming up next, but right now it is the 77 WABC Clip of the Day. Listen to Bo Snerdly every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. Hear Bo. He's Rush Limbaugh's former producer, by the way. Hear Bo Snerdly speaks with former President Donald Trump.
Now it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
It is time to beat Bernie. I think we're looking for a contestant for today's effort. Well, we have a contestant. An in-house contestant. This is going to be fun. This is like almost like a celebrity version of Beat Bernie, right?
I don't know how much of a celebrity I am.
Well,
so.
You work here at the office.
Yeah, that's okay.
Tell everybody who you are and the whole thing.
I am Frank Diaz. I am the multimedia journalist for 77 WABC. So most of the stories that you'll see on the website or the question of the day usually, which is Monday through Friday most of the time, is me.
You do all that stuff, huh?
Yeah.
You do a nice job, by the way.
I hope so.
There's not enough stuff about me, though. You got to do more about me.
Just say the word.
Nobody cares about anybody else. Just keep putting me on there, okay?
All right. Fair enough.
All right. Five questions, and could he win the money, Frank? He works here.
I'll donate it to somebody.
Oh, good. Okay, very nice of you. I mean, you're assuming you're going to win, obviously.
Well, hopefully.
You're a smart guy. I noticed that about you.
I think I am.
All right. Well, here's number one, Frank. Thank you for playing today's game. We appreciate it.
Of course.
What do you live, by the way?
I live in the Bronx.
The Bronx, okay. Yeah. Bronx from the Bronx, too. What three countries made up the Avis powers in World War II?
You mean the Axis powers?
Axis powers, Axis powers.
Shut up! God. I'm tired today. I got a lot going on. Bother, you know?
Japan, Germany, and Russia? No.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax could be Jesus.
You were close.
Yeah.
Japan, Germany, and Italy.
Okay, that was my second
I did
choice,
say too. Avis, the rent-a-car. You did say Axis. Yeah. Area 51 is located in which U.S. state?
Is it Nevada?
Yep. What is the largest non-extinct animal known to man?
Is it the blue whale?
It's good. Good Frank's no joke. Which president was shot in Buffalo in 1901?
William McKinley.
Look at you! And finally, after his announcement, only one Republican candidate for president in 2016 had a period where they consistently polled above Donald Trump entering most polls. Which Republican candidate was it? There was one. He actually did it from October through November.
Was it Jeb Bush?
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax.
Not a bad guess, Ben Carson. You still got three right. So Bernie's got to get at least four right. Go get Bernard. You did a good job, Frank. Right, very good job.
Thank you.
You want to win, right, honestly?
We'll see.
Are you going to cry if you lose?
No. I did that enough in elementary school, so I think.
Were you a big crier?
You
seem like a sensitive kid.
No comment.
You're a sensitive kid, I can tell you. You're a nice kid. All right, well, thank you, Frank. Frank Diaz, he does something for the website. He writes, he does a lot of stuff. Bernie's got to get four right if he's going to beat Frank today. But getting Bernie back in here, of course, is never easy. There he is. Hi, Bern.
Hello, Sid.
You got to get four right to win today's game. Frank's a smart kid. You played Frank. You know Frank? Frank Diaz from the... he played against you.
What's up, Frank?
He wants
not
to sit
much,
inside.
He's
going to start staring at you, giving you like these defensive lineman stares. Like, I'm coming to get you, Bernie.
He is a big kid.
He is a big kid. No question.
A gentle giant.
Number one. I see that. You are a gentle giant. What three countries made up the Axis powers in World War II? Three countries.
We
got
countries.
Two out of three, right, just so you know.
The Axis countries would be Nazi Germany.
Correct.
Japan.
Yes.
And the third would probably be Italy.
Bang! He said Russia. Oh, my God, he's so rooting against you. He almost cried there, Frank. Area 51 is located in which U.S. state?
New Mexico.
Incorrect.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax could be Jesus.
Nevada.
Wow.
Ooh. Look at the smile.
Damn.
Now, you got to get the next three in a row right to win, okay?
Yeah.
There we go. What is the largest non-extinct animal known to man?
The largest non-extinct animal?
Yeah.
Well, if I said the elephant,
Is that your final answer?
I have to go with elephant.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax.
You got this right. The blue whale.
Oh, of course. That's right. That's an animal.
You got to get these two right just to tie.
Oh, jeez. Here, I read it.
You nervous, Frank? A little bit, right?
I mean.
It's exciting.
It's tied now, so I don't really have too much to worry about.
That's true.
If anything,
right.
I'm more Bernie's equal than anything.
Right. Of course. The whale is a mammal, not a fish, you idiot.
That's correct.
I know, but whatever. It's okay. It's
Which president was shot in Buffalo in 1901?
That was, sadly for him, 1901.
He got this right away, this kid. Yeah.
I believe it was McKinley.
Yes. So.
Theodore Roosevelt took over.
If you get this right, you tie. If not, Frankie wins. Here we go. After his announcement, only one Republican candidate for president in 2016 had a period where they consistently polled above Donald Trump among most polls. Which Republican candidate was it?
I'd have to go with Lion Ted.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax could be Jesus.
Frank wins today's game. Frank said Jeb Bush. That was incorrect. He said Lion Ted. That was incorrect. He came on later. Early on, the guy that was beating Trump was Ben Carson.
Really?
Yes. For a good month. So Ben Carson's the answer. Frank gets the win.
Congratulations, Frank.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, you can't win anything.
No,
that's okay. I'll donate it to a lucky listener who calls in.
But you do get bragging rights.
That's fine.
Now, you actually do run the website, and you write stuff for the website. Will you write that you beat Bernie today on the front of the website?
I might just tweet it out. We'll see. So I won't make it too bad. If I just send a little tweet. I don't have many Twitter followers anyway, so...
You got more people listening right now.
If you do want to follow me on Twitter to see some of the updates that I do, follow me at Honest10. That's HONESTTEN. It's like a portmanteau of my name, Honest Frank 10 Diaz.
Look at that.
In Spanish.
The guy that uses words like portmanteau. You know, he doesn't even know what a portmanteau is.
A what?
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
No, say it again.
No, that's very...
A portmanteau?
Very impressive.
Not really a portmanteau. That. It's just like a play on my name. So. Uh-huh.
Well, it's actually, originally, it's an old school sort of suitcase.
Gotcha.
Right, Frank?
I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Frank. Right. Thank you for playing today's game.
Thank you
really
guys for having me.
Sweet guy.
I appreciate it.
1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. We'll end today's show as we do every weekday with you guys on the phones. Your chance to talk to Bernie and Sid is next.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. It's a fun listen. 77 WABC.
From a book got moving in a country where they turn by time. You go strolling through the crowd like Pete DeLauro contemplating a crime. She comes out.
So my buddy Mike Sullivan texted me on Saturday. Curtis was in Breezy Point on Saturday. He took the boat out. He took the trucks out. It was a big deal. I guess Rich Valdez, he's been traveling with Curtis. Is he opening act or something?
Curtis actually emailed me a picture of him and
Sully.
Sully, and he's like, "Hey, Bernie, where are you?"
Right.
Because it's the Irish.
Right. Well, supposedly people were chanting our names, according to Sully.
Oh, is that right?
I guess. I don't know. And he was in Middle Village yesterday, so he did the whole Queens thing over the weekend, Curtis.
Good.
And he's going to win that part. That's for sure. We'll see what he does with the rest. Here's Barry in West Hampton Beach on line 5. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Sydney. I've got 15 or 20 years on you, but I empathize with you and your daughter and the fact that you feel very low. But so there are two types of parents. When I dropped my daughter off university, there were those parents that were fist pumping in the air. They had their lives back, and I was crying because why was I crying? I was crying because my family was never going to be the same again. It was going to morph into something different. So I really feel for the fact that you feel this way, but there's nothing you can do about it. You're going to be happy for her, but on the other hand, that family that you knew. Gone. Something different is going to replace.
I know. Believe me, I know. And she's not even leaving for good yet till next year. I mean, Bernie's been through this already. But his daughter went to school, I think, on Long Island. Your son went to Hofstra. Where did Melanie go to school?
She went to Courtland.
Oh, in upstate New York, right.
We took her there.
Right.
But
Ava's going to London.
Again, to Barry's point, you can look at it either way. But there's a way to look at it where you don't cry.
No, I cried in about a
while. I know, but
today I'm doing better.
What I'm saying, it's your choice.
Yeah, I can't help myself.
It's actually a happy thing. You're not dropping her off, for cancer treatment.
Well, that's true.
You know what I mean? It's actually a beautiful thing, what's happening.
Yeah.
And for that reason, you should be happy. But I understand.
I am happy.
Point well taken, Barry. Thank you,
Barry. Let's go to Carol in New Jersey, on line 2. Hi, Carol.
Hey, Sid. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. I played on Beat Bernie months ago, and I only got 2 questions right, and I didn't win.
Oh,
unfortunately, it was an off day for me.
Sorry.
But I was wondering, would Frank be willing to donate his winnings?
It's worth asking, Carol. We'll float it by him. You're a cutie. Thank you, sweetheart.
I'm a long-time listener. I listen to you guys every morning.
All right.
And I never miss Beat Bernie. I love listening to Beat Bernie.
So. Okay.
We should try to. We'll make every effort.
We'll see if
we can arrange that.
Here's Herb. Thank you, Carol. You're adorable. Herb in Connecticut, line 1. Hi, Herbie.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, listen, I just want to let you know that Bill Maher and John Stewart, they're not coming around. You guys are basically forcing them around. And I'll give you an example. Remember when Trump came out and he said that the virus possibly came from a lab leak?
Yep.
That morning, you guys discussed it. I know because I called in. And then you kept following up on it and kept following up on it. You knew you were right. Why? Because everyone that was writing on it was what? Getting banned by Twitter. The thing, the takeaway from John Stewart is that he is going to resurface. And the reason is what you, all those CNN clips that you played, these guys are unbelievable now. Nobody believes them. They're going to dust Jon Stewart off. They're going to give him a show. And you saw that on Colbert's face. So I'll call you guys in a month when he comes back, and we'll have a good laugh about it.
Very possibly.
Yeah.
But listen, to your earlier point, I hate to pat ourselves on the back, but we were right about a lot of things.
Oh, the whole thing.
I mean, we really were. So was Trump. Again, Trump was, you could say Trump was right a million times, but we were on his side for the most part with the virus, the lockdowns, the masks, the school closings, you name it.
Well, Trump at one point, and it wasn't his fault, he did a really good job, but he got scared at one point. And even you and I were like, Donnie, calm down.
He's listening to Fauci and Burks.
We never changed. We never, from those dark, dismal days at Penn Plaza, 17th floor above Madison Square Garden, we never changed. I remember even, you know, the bosses would go, oh, we get it. You don't want to wear your mask. You want to do this, you want to do that. Why? And we're like, because it's just not, something's wrong here. And we were right. The whole time we were right.
You know, the President Trump sanctioned the, 2 weeks to stop the spread or whatever the hell it was.
Yes,
and of
14
course,
days.
But it was really, it was all up to the states. And then the states just, the petty tyrants, kept it going forever, uselessly, because as it turned out, it was all a waste of time. Didn't work anyway. It didn't work compared to the red states that reopened and did things wisely. And instead of, just isolating the vulnerable, the people with the comorbidities, the old people, blah, blah, blah. We were saying all that, at the risk of patting ourselves on the back, a year ago, all that stuff. And
yes, we were.
Here it is now, a year later, a year and four months later. I will also point out this.
We were like the only ones. We actually at one point thought we may get into trouble because we were so defiant. But again, we were right. Go ahead.
And let me say, speaking about being right, and this is a big story. Georgia now, the Secretary of State, he's removing nearly 100,000, quote, outdated and obsolete, unquote, names off the voter rolls. 100,000. And yet those 100,000 counted on November 3rd.
Oh, yeah.
He's removing them now.
Yeah.
But they counted on November 3rd.
Too little too late, right?
Speaking of, Trump was right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's not acknowledging anything, but they're just removing them. That's it. We're going to purge them. These people were dead or they were fraudulent. They shouldn't have been there in the first place, but they were. They counted back last November. Just FYI.
Did you ask Frank if he'd be willing to give this lady the $100? Well, John?
It's not his call.
Oh, that's right. It's not his call. He can't do that.
No, it's LeBrosi's call.
Wait, I can't do that?
No. Well, you told her yes.
I gave her the card.
You gave her a card?
Yeah, I talked to Frank, and Frank said that, yeah, Carol gift card.
He doesn't have that authority? What are you talking about?
You deal with Mr. LeBrosi.
Yeah, really? Did you really give her the card?
I said literally as soon as I walked in, I said, give it to a lucky caller or something.
It doesn't matter. Water under the bridge. It's not their call. It's LeBrosi's call.
Yeah, but now if you go back and don't give the lady the $100, you look like jerks.
Well, they got to deal with it.
Sorry. I mean,
it's quite all right.
Carol was very excited about the coffee mug.
I'm sure she was. Oh, the coffee mug.
I mean, to be fair, I could also use a good coffee mug, but that's okay. Not a here or there.
By the way, that Barry House coffee mug is a great mug.
It is a great mug.
I love that mug.
It's one of my favorite mugs. I use it at home every weekend morning. I do.
Exactly.
So tonight is a big night for you because I know you're not going to go there, but you're the one who mentioned it, to your credit, that there'll be a viewing party at the barn for Game 5 for the Lightning and Islanders.
Oh, that's right.
But,
yes.
But I believe you're going to be watching some of that game tonight. You're into this.
I know.
Into the Islanders series.
I'm hoping and praying that there is a 2021 miracle on ice.
Yes.
Look, there was yesterday when this defenseman named Tulin, with 2 seconds left. The goalie came out of the net, and this guy just dove in there as somebody took a shot, and he caught that puck with 2 seconds left, would have tied the game. But as it was, the Islanders won, and now they tied the series 2-2. Viewing party tonight. Look, it all started with me. It didn't start, but I love Peter King. I love Laura Curran.
Bill O'Reilly goes to all these games.
County executive Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
But it was that the singing of the national anthem at Nassau Coliseum.
Yes.
That really got me behind. I mean, Nassau County, as I said before, is Trump country. So is Suffolk County, Long Island. We want to keep it that way. And so I want to reward those fans and have them win the Stanley. And they're good fans. They're good people. People of Nassau County. The barn is going to, the Nassau Coliseum, sadly, is closing down. I used to take my kids there for circuses and various events.
Well, that's not going to close for that, is it?
It's all, yeah, it's all done.
Oh, it's just gonna, they're going to shut it down.
I believe so, yeah.
That sucks.
It's over. It's over. But so go Islanders.
Go Islanders.
Tonight against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
They drop the puck at 8 p.m. if you are interested. Islanders and Lightning, 8 p.m. tonight. And the reason why that 5:10 start for the Mets is because they're playing a doubleheader tonight. 5:10 and 8:10 against the Atlanta Braves. Great Monday show. We hope you enjoyed it. Back again tomorrow on a Bo Dietl Tuesday. Enjoy your Monday afternoon, New York City, until 6:30 tomorrow. Peace!
Donald John Trump incited the erection.